we're closing in on the final 3 weeks of the college football season. Carnage, while slight last week, continued. And as we head towards a college football playoff in that picture, I'm sure it will. Number 8, BYU, loses to number 9, Texas Tech. Not a big deal. 8 versus 9, both in the top 10. Number 14, Virginia. Number 15, Louisville. Number 20, Iowa. Number 22, Missouri. Again, they lost to number 3, A&M. Not that big of a deal at all. And number 23, Washington, all fall. And so it continues this week. Must-watch games, Texas at Georgia, Oklahoma at Alabama. They will head the list.
From across the Volunteer State with your exclusive scouting report, welcome to the Coach's Meeting. This is Coach to Coach.
Week number 2 of the college football playoff was released this past week. Let's take a look at it. The second week rankings and these second week matches. Remember, there's going to be four more of these before it's all said and done. Ohio State, they're putting them in as the Big Ten champ, number 1. Indiana was number 2, another Big Ten team. Texas A&M, SEC champ, again, according to these rankings, was number 3. And then Alabama, number 4. Now, a couple of things on this. Remember, this year, the tweak that was made to the first 12-team college football playoff last couple of years was this. The 4 first-round byes are no longer allotted to the highest-ranked conference champions. They still get in, the 4 highest-ranked conference champions, but they no longer have to be the first 4 seeds. And as we see right here, you have 2 Big Ten schools and 2 Southeastern Conference schools. Again, I'll remind you, this is the second week of the 6-week ranking period, so we have 4 more of those. The matchups that we would have right now, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama have that first week bye. And then number 12, South Florida, would play number 5, Georgia. South Florida, if they get in, and right now they are in, the American champ, AAC champ. Number 11, Miami, they would be the Atlantic Coast Conference champ. At number 6, Texas Tech, they are the Big 12 champ. Number 10, Texas versus number 7, Ole Miss. Both of those are Southeastern Conference programs, of course. And number 9, Notre Dame versus number 8, Oregon. So as we look at it right now, and again, remember, we're just talking about this second week, but that's all we have to go on right now. The second week rankings, Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas, they are all in. Of course, that is 5 Southeastern Conference schools. There are 3 Big Ten teams that would be in the college football playoff right now. Ohio State, Indiana, they're 1 and 2. Oregon there at number 8. The Big 12 champion would be Texas Tech. They're ranked number 6. The ACC champion would be Miami. They're ranked number 11. And right now, the Group 5 team would be South Florida. Again, that is in the rankings so far. They are out of the AAC. Notre Dame, number 6. Of course, the Independents in there. Now, how can all this, might all this change? We know it's going to change some because a lot of these teams play each other. I'll get into that in just a second. But we do have 4 more of these, 4 more weekly rankings. That final ranking, December 7th, that will be on a Sunday. All of the ones that are in between now and then will be on Tuesday, of course, on ESPN. A couple of things that have changed just a little bit from last year. As we look at what's going to be happening throughout these votes, remember, another little tweak or guidelines, I guess, would be the better way of putting it. This year, they put this into the consideration, into the guidelines on choosing those 12 teams. There's no set in stone rules or regulations that you have to follow, but there are guidelines. We're talking about the committee, of course. In the current schedule strength merit, there's more weight now that's being applied to games against strong opponents. That's a little bit different. A new added metric is the one of, quote, record strength, which should help the committee determine how teams performed against their schedule. What it's meant to do? Again, a little tweak, but makes a lot of common sense, I think, to reward those teams that beat high-quality opponents while minimizing the penalty of losing to one. Let's just use Alabama as an example. They opened up losing, and they're number 4 right now, losing to Florida State. At that time, Florida State was a top 4 team. not even in the top 25 right now. So they had the loss to Florida State. Certainly that would be something that they would look at as right now not a really good loss, if there is such a thing. But they followed that up. They're the only team in the that are ranked right now in the college football playoff that has four wins against top 25 at least opponents. Georgia was number five. They beat Vanderbilt, number 16. They beat Missouri, number 22. And they beat Tennessee, number 25. Let's take a look, going again on what this week's poll is. Let's take a look at what these teams have remaining on their schedule. I'm only going to give you the ranked teams that they have. Certainly, there are other games that they could lose, but likely not. Ohio State is saying they're at number one. They're 9-0. The only ranked team they have left, of course, is at end of the year against Michigan. That will be at Ohio State this year. Indiana. They're 10-0 right now, two games remaining. They don't have a single game left against a ranked opponent. Texas A&M, last ball game. They're 9-0, by the way. Last ball game, they'll be at Texas in Austin. Texas ranked number 10. Alabama, 8-1. They have one opponent left in the top 12 right now of the rankings. That is Oklahoma. That will be in Tuscaloosa. Georgia. Two teams actually are playing teams that have ranked opponents right now. Georgia, they host Texas. That's this week, by the way. And then, the end of the year, they have Georgia Tech, who right now is at 16. But if Georgia Tech continues to win, they're certainly going to move up because, in all likelihood, they'll be in the Atlantic Coast Conference championship game. Texas Tech sitting there at number six. They're the highest ranked opponent in the, they're the highest ranked team in the Big 12. They have no games left against top ranked opponents. Ole Miss, the same, sitting at 9-1. They're number seven. Oregon, number eight. They have one game left against a top 20 team. That would be USC. Again, we're talking about the college football playoff poll. USC is ranked 17. Notre Dame at 7-2, an independent. They have one game left against a top 25 opponent. That would be Pitt. Texas, the one team in the top 10 right now that really has to play well going out. They all have to play well going out, but especially Texas. They're at 7-2. They have two losses. That means they cannot afford another loss and still get into the college football playoff. Well, I guess they would have a slight chance, maybe less than 2%, less than 1%. They're at Georgia again this week, number 4, big ball game, the biggest ball game in college football, in my opinion. And then they play the last game of the year, number 3, A&M. So if you're looking for a team that you would bet on maybe coming out, I'm not talking about betting money on it, but I'm just talking about betting on it, you would have to think that Texas has the strongest finishing opponents. Oklahoma, on the outside looking in, number 11. BYU, on the outside looking in at number 12. They're not in the playoff right now, but that's because Miami and South Florida are those two ranked teams here. Speaking of Miami, they're the highest ranked Atlantic Coast Conference team at number 15. Again, that probably will change, but again, each one of these conferences, remember that first week after the end of the season, they all have conference championship games. That's why we're going to see after those conference championship games, the final college football playoff poll that's going to set, well, what the schedule is going to be for the 2025-2026 playoffs. One thing to remember as you and I look at this college football playoff poll, remember they rank the 12 teams, but in those 12 teams, it's just as they would rank according to strength of schedule and where they would have them ranked. Remember, you're always going to have one independent in there in all likelihood. That is Notre Dame. But five of the 12 teams must be teams that have won their conference. Right now, if you look at it, Miami is number 16. And South Florida is number 24. While they are not ranked in that top 12, while they would not be in the playoff, effectively they would be in the playoff because they're a conference champion. Five teams will be conference champions. And by the way, it doesn't say four power four teams are going to be in there, all there. They're going to take the five top ranked ones on that. And right now, ACC's got a little work to do to make sure they get in there. Looks like for sure, even with another loss, probably even with the loss in the final few games of this year, Texas Tech's probably going to be there. They're playing exceptionally well in the Big 12. But that ACC right now, a lot of teams still in it. Miami's still in it. Georgia Tech's still in it. Virginia's still in it. Louisville's still in it. Pittsburgh's still in it. So that is still a conference. And again, we're talking about getting into that conference championship game. I want to stress again, because this isn't, I don't talk a whole lot about this and isn't talked a whole lot about. Five of those teams of the 12 are going to be conference champions. Now, the seeding no longer goes where the four top four get a first-round bye, but five are still going to get in, so that only leads seven other spots. And if you look at it right now, Notre Dame looks like they're going to get in. Again, all these teams have to win out or at least can't lose more than one game. Notre Dame is one with two losses. They cannot lose another game. So with them in there, that puts it up to six. So there is only six other spots that are going to get teams. It looks like right now, from everything that I see and look at going forward schedules, the Southeastern Conference, knowing that their champion's still in, the Big Ten North, their champion's still in, they're going to have those other six spots. So right now it would be five SEC teams and three Big Ten teams. Of course, all this is speculation. That's why it's fun to do. We'll be changing them up probably next week because we're certainly going to have some losses in the top 10 or top 12 that we'll be discussing. So as we go through this, a lot to get into, lots to talk about, and we'll try to keep you updated on it each and every week. Each and every week right here on Coach to Coach.
This is Coach to Coach with former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator Dave McGinnis and former Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Than 450 tickets have been sold worth $1 million or more. But with nearly $8 billion raised for education, the biggest winners continue to be students in Tennessee. So if you've ever purchased a game from the Tennessee Lottery, we say thank you for helping to play your part. The Tennessee Lottery, game-changing, life-changing fun, but please play responsibly.
Doug Matthews here. Game day or any day, Wilson Bank and Trust shows up for our schools. Through signature sponsorships and hometown support, they're investing in the next generation of leaders, customers, and bankers. At Wilson Bank and Trust, they believe financial knowledge builds financial confidence. That's why they offer tools and education for every age and every life stage, from digital resources to school programs and even hands-on learning at home. Experience the difference a community-focused bank can make. Together, we win. Wilson Bank and Trust, here to get you there. Member FDIC.
Championship teams make constant adjustments to keep winning. I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Your competitors aren't standing still. Forklift sales are up 100%. You can't compete with inferior machinery. Our free equipment analysis shows your MVPs and the ones costing you wins. With factory rebates up to $8,000, you can't afford to stay on the sideline. Don't get left behind. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Coach to Coach with former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator Dave McGinnis and former Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Dave McGinnis, every coach using the same refrain in some way, shape, or form, I am assuming, and that is finish, F-I-N-I-S-H. Three games for almost everybody remain. And this is a time when the rubber meets the road.
Well, especially now that they're playing tournament football in the NCAA. Now you're getting down to the stretch. And all of these games, a lot of these games, and we'll talk about all of them, we talked about them last week, are either win and you're in, lose and you're out games. So, I mean, that it makes it a one-game shot. I mean, it's not like the World Series. It's not like the NBA playoffs. There's no four out of seven in this stuff. This is a one shot at it. And this last week, I mean, just, you know, I was in Lubbock, Texas. And just the whole story of Texas Tech, you and I, we've gone over a lot of what they've done, you know, with the NIL, and they've proven how that can work. But just the excitement that that engenders, and that ball game, I was there in Lubbock, spent the night there Friday night. There were as many BYU people there as I would think there would be from Utah to Lubbock, Texas. So it's this is something that's captivated the country. But right now, these games that are coming up this week, Doug, they are big, big games.
Well, if you are fortunate enough or have played well enough or are lucky enough, whatever you want to use to have zero or one losses, you're kind of playing with house money now. Without question, certainly the Big Ten Southeastern Conference, those two conferences for sure, you're going to get in if you have two losses in all likelihood. But for, you mentioned the Big 12 and Texas Tech, the ACC, likely only one team will get in for sure. A lot of that's going to have to do with exactly where Notre Dame ends up. We're going to have a group of five team in there. So if Notre Dame, and of course a group of five, which will get in, that only leaves 10 spots. And right now, you have to look at the Southeastern Conference with four almost for sure, Dave. The Big Ten, three for sure, maybe four. Again, it's all how it ends up. And remember, all this is going to go right down to that extra weekend for those championship ball games. You do not get a automatic first round pick or go. Excuse me. You do not get an automatic spot in the poll without winning a conference champion. Then we have the at large berths on that. That's something we're going to be keeping up with. I want to kind of start the show with this. Big time job openings. Mac, just think about this. Since the turn of the century, 2000, 25%. One out of every four national champions have come from one of those three programs. LSU's had three. Florida has had two. Auburn's had one. So not only are those great programs, they're going to attract a big-time coach. You throw Penn State in there, who certainly is one of the teams that is a perennial top 15, top 20 team. Really shows what's going to happen there. Let's talk a little bit about your experience in this. What your eyes tell you on this? You would think all four of those programs are most likely going to go for a head football coach, a proven head football coach. Many of them will probably go for a proven head football coach in a power conference. They're not all probably going to get one, though, because there aren't that many out there. What do you see? Let's just take the SEC jobs. Of course, Arkansas is another one that's in there. That's not in the same category with LSU, Florida, and Auburn. What are you seeing with those three programs in particular, and how you think the head coaches at other places will be looking at it?
Well, the first thing that they'll look at, and if you're a head coach of that stature, they've got everything, all those places you just mentioned, financially, they've got everything in place for you to win. But now, why was the coach not successful? And especially in this day and age with the NIL and the transfer portal. And again, it's extremely important. When I talk about NIL, we are talking about the collectives. We're talking about the people other than the athletic directors, other than the presidents of the universities that are basically running the place because of the money. And so you've got to understand, if you're a coach and if you're going to be – you're an established coach and you're going to be considered for one of these jobs, why was this person not successful? Why was he not successful? And then – look, there's big money in this. There's big money coaching in the National Football League. There's big money in the collegiate football right now. But the leash that you have as a coach is shorter than it's ever been.
Let's look at those three jobs, what they did last time. LSU, again, the previous three head coaches before Brian Kelly was hired all won a national championship. They go up, they get Notre Dame, a proven coach that had been in the national championship picture, a lot of experience in his early 60s. Billy Napier had great success at Louisiana, the old Southwest Louisiana school, really great success there. He is hired. He had been waiting to get a good job, and everybody knew he was going to get one of the top jobs at some point. He goes to Florida. And then Hugh Freeze, who, of course, had had great success in the Southeastern Conference, left, came back, went to Liberty, got his feet back on the ground. He's hired at Florida. Mac, I was one of them. When all three of these hires were made, they looked to me like they were great hires. None of them worked out yet, and it's timing. It's you mentioned name, image, likeness part of it. All three of those programs certainly can handle that part of it. But I guess the bottom line is sometimes it's just not quite a fit at that particular job.
Well, you talk about a fit. You talked about LSU. Ed Orgeron won a national championship there too. He'd never been a head coach, never. But he fit. He fit down there in Baton Rouge. So all of those things, I think, have to come together. So you've got to be able to match the personality of the coach and his ability with the program. But those all of those programs that you mentioned, Doug, I mean, just they all pass. If you just wanted to don't even put a name on it and just look at the spreadsheet on all of them, they all pass the eye test if you're looking for a job.
Kind of interesting what's going to happen. Have an athletic director that was open, of course, on the LSU job because of a bad hire, a lot of it, quite frankly. A lot of pressure on these athletic directors now. Mac, of those three, it looks like, and I don't think there's much national disagreement with this, Lane Kiffin is going to have his opportunity probably at any of those jobs. He would be the top choice there. I guess the big thing with Lane Kiffin is, though, he's really – I'm going to start to say rebuilt the Ole Miss program. Ole Miss hadn't won a national championship since 1963, but he's got that program up where they're going to, in all likelihood, be in the college football playoff this year. If, let's just assume that he stays at Ole Miss, it's wide open for those other three jobs. And again, that's including in Penn State, of course.
Yeah, and Lane Kiffin has had some really good jobs before this. I mean, he's had some big, USC is a big job. University of Tennessee is a big job. Head coach of the Oakland Raiders is a big job. So he will be the premier guy that they'll go after. But to your point, what he's got going now at the University of Mississippi, and especially the offense that he runs, he can attract players in this NIL. He can attract players and compete. And not only compete, but win. In the SEC, it's going to be very interesting to see really what would entice him to leave.
Well, and one thing also, he has been one of the leaders in the transfer portal acquisition. So that's a big part. Name, image, likeness, transfer portal, or transfer portal, name, image, likeness. Those are the key factors. And, of course, all those jobs, which we just kind of alluded to, all those jobs can be national championship winning teams. So we'll see what happens on there. Last minute in this segment, we're going to see the domino effect after that. All those jobs are going to hire a head football coach from somewhere. It's very important right now, and I think Indiana did a really smart thing. When all this started, they got Cignetti signed up for an 8-year deal at $11+ million a year, took him off the table. I'm just wondering how many other programs, before we get to the end of the year, we got 3 more weeks, are going to do the same with their head football coach.
Well, it depends on how much faith they have in the head football coach. And also, it depends on this too, Coach, I think. How much belief they have if they lose a head coach to someplace like that, can they replace him with somebody of the like nature? With all of these jobs being open, that's going to be a pretty slim group out there that's going to narrow down. So if you've got a head coach that you're winning with right now, you're probably going to hold on to him.
Timeout called. Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Just like your favorite team needs solid players and teamwork to succeed, your health needs a strong lineup also. And guess what? Dental and vision care are your MVPs when it comes to preventative wellness. Delta Dental of Tennessee boasts an all-star lineup of dentists across the state with plans covering up to 100% of your preventative care, such as exams and cleanings. Delta Dental of Tennessee is there to answer any questions you have about your dental insurance so you can stay in top form. Check out their website at deltadentaltn.com.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
At Great Clips, they know I, like you, have a lot going on, and that's why they save my haircut details in clip notes, so I get the same cut every time. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with over 130 salons throughout the state of Tennessee, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near wherever you are. I've been a client of Great Clips for well over a decade now, and if you are looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack.
So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, set, stay, eat.
Coach to Coach with former NFL head coach and defensive coordinator Dave McGinnis and former Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Some really important dates coming up quickly. Mac, let's hit these real quickly. December 3rd. National Signing Day, and while they no longer signed a letter, that's when that all that class, about 95%, they have a second signing date in February, but about 95% of those players are going to be signing somewhere between 3rd, 4th, and 5th. It's open to then, until then. Transfer portal opens January 2nd, and of course, the college football playoffs are going to be set December 7th after those championship games. Mac, I want to talk about what we ended up talking about last segment. We talked about those job openings. It's so important to get your coach hired, that position filled, because, again, signing day is the 3rd. So you got to have those players signed. One thing about the new signing date is also, I mentioned about 90% of the players will sign then. Since there's no national letter, what the NCAA has done, you are now, if you sign with a school, you are bound to that school for one calendar year up until the next season. In other words, you can't transfer out then. But we had the transfer portal right after that. So if you don't get a coach hired, not only are you probably not going to sign a class that you really like, and you're likely going to lose some players from your team, the team you're taking over, the transfer portal, and not being able to add transfer portal players. So these last 3 weeks, I think we're going to start seeing kind of some dominoes fall on those job openings.
Oh, I agree. I mean, and it's not only now. I mean, let's go back to when you and I were recruiting and signing national letters. I mean, you can remember that day you were there at 8 o'clock in the morning, wherever you were. You had to get it signed. You had to get it faxed in. I mean, all of the it's a different world now. But the important thing is they closed the door now on at least a year. When you and I were signing players, they were signing 4-year contracts. They were signing 4-year scholarships, and you were there, and you couldn't leave. You really couldn't leave. This is a completely different world that they're dealing with right now. But to me, what's important, it's talent evaluation, but it's also talent acquisition, and it's asset allocation now that figures into all of this. And you bring up a good point, too. If you fire a coach, then every player on that team has a chance to leave within a certain amount of period too. So you're not only trying to acquire players from the outside of your program, you are trying to keep players in your program. It's a madhouse world for especially assistant coaches right now, and that's why head coaches are getting fired so much earlier, so that people can have a head start on just what you talked about.
Well, and we talk a lot about head coaches being dismissed, being fired. In all likelihood, when they bring in a new coach, he may keep one or two coaches on that staff, but he's going to bring in his own staff. So not only is there going to be a lot of head coaches out there looking for jobs, there's going to be a lot of really good assistants, and then I think we'll probably see some movement in that area. Mac, let's talk a little bit about what we're seeing right now, Southeastern Conference-wise. We're going to look at the national picture also, but let's talk about what our eyes are seeing in the Southeastern Conference right now. All right, going into this weekend, we have Alabama and Texas A&M are both 6-0. Alabama's 8-1, excuse me, overall. A&M is 9-0. They got the catbird seat right now. Georgia's is 6-1, 8-1 overall. Ole Miss is 5-1, 9-1 overall. And Texas is 4-1, 7-2. Now, some really key components on this. While we're talking about this, the top two teams are going to get into the Southeastern Conference Championship. The others with a 9-2, in all likelihood, are going to get in the college football playoff. So here's where that Southeastern Conference Championship, that tiebreaker comes. Georgia's one loss was to Alabama. So if they both end up with the same record, Alabama's going to go. Ole Miss, they have one loss also. Their one loss was to Georgia. So if they end up tying, Georgia will go in that. Texas is 4-1, but their one loss was to Florida. Inexplicably, a Florida team that just got run out of Kroger Field up in Lexington last week. Vanderbilt sitting there at 4-2, 8-2 overall. Oklahoma 3-2, 7-2 overall. Technically, they're still in both races. But, Mac, as we look at it, we got five Southeastern Conference teams now. They're not only fighting for the Southeastern Conference Championship, they're also fighting to get in that college football playoff. A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas, and all of them have big games coming up.
Well, sure they do. And you know, we've talked about this on our previous shows. You know, those two lost teams, their heels are on the edge of the cliff every week now, because a three-loss team is not going to get in this playoff. And so these are it's winning you're in, losing you're out for those two lost teams. And those teams that you mentioned right there, the fact of the matter is, let's see what this committee, how much they weigh strength of schedule. That is important. How much are they weighing strength of schedule? And really, nobody knows that except that committee that's in that room. That's going to be important.
Well, the guidelines tell them to, but they don't say they have to. Those are the guidelines that they want
that's
them to look
point.
At. Just a couple of things on there right now. Georgia has one conference game left. Their last game, of course, is against Georgia Tech, which will be a big ball game. Georgia Tech might win the Atlantic Coast Conference now. Georgia has Texas remaining. They play this weekend in Athens. Oklahoma plays at Alabama in Tuscaloosa this week. Those two ball games are going to have a big bearing on, obviously, one of those or two of those teams. One in each game is going to have a loss. Another's going to have a big win in that area. Just real quickly, Georgia has only Texas remaining in the Southeastern Conference. That game's at home. A&M has South Carolina, not playing really well right now, but capable of beating it. And then they have to go to Texas. Alabama has Oklahoma at home, Auburn on the road, Ole Miss really setting in great shape. They have Florida, who's not playing well at all right now, and Mississippi State. Of course, that's an in-state game. It's a rival game, but right now, if I had to bet on somebody going 11-1 in this league, it would be one of two teams. It would be both of them, quite frankly, Georgia and A&M. A&M doesn't have any losses yet, and three teams left on that. Let's hit some of the other SEC schedules. South Carolina's at A&M. State is at Missouri. Mississippi State is at Missouri. Kentucky is at Vanderbilt. Florida is at Ole Miss. LSU and Tennessee play out of conference programs. Vanderbilt and Auburn are open, and that's kind of what we're seeing right now. But big games here at the end of the year.
Huge games. And some of those that you mentioned, they're playoff games. I mean, it's win and you're in. And so, I mean, this is a huge weekend. But we knew this was going to happen, Coach, because we talked about this 4 weeks ago, that once the Southeast Conference started playing conference games, they were going to cannibalize each other. That's where we are now.
Southeastern Conference right now, likely, if you had to put your money on something, and we certainly don't condone gambling on this show, but most likely it's going to be A&M and Alabama, and what a good matchup. That's it's going to be a great matchup anyway. Whichever these six teams eventually get into the two teams in the Southeastern Conference on that. Mac, eyes, watching games. Forget about records. Forget about a lot of things. What do your eyes tell you right now in this league? Who do you like from a coach's perspective, the way they're playing right now?
I like Texas A&M. I like Texas A&M a lot because, you know, first of all, their quarterback's dealing right now, and they've got an excellent, excellent defense. You watch them play. I really like them a lot in the SEC. They've been. Mike Elko's got that team playing consistently. They've always had great, great talent, without a doubt. But now they've all got a focus down there, and they're playing good complementary football. Texas A&M to me is playing the best football right now that's going.
Let me tell you one other thing that they have that one kind of intangible. They have heard ever since Mike Elko's been there about. Start out strong, end up not so strong. Don't and if you followed what he has said, then when he gets asked those questions, you can see the hair on the back of his neck. My point is this:
right.
You're always looking for a little edge, as a head football coach. That certainly is an edge that Texas A&M's using right now.
Well, Texas A&M has always had that. I mean, I grew up in the Southwest Conference. And Texas A&M always felt like, I mean, we've talked about this before. If the University of Texas built a 100-foot building, they built one 101-foot. They felt like the younger brother all the time.
Little sister, little brother, right?
Yeah, but and they don't like that.
Timeout called. Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Matthews here. Game day or any day, Wilson Bank and Trust shows up for our schools. Through signature sponsorships and hometown support, they're investing in the next generation of leaders, customers, and bankers. At Wilson Bank and Trust, they believe financial knowledge builds financial confidence. That's why they offer tools and education for every age and every life stage, from digital resources to school programs and even hands-on learning at home. Experience the difference a community-focused bank can make. Together, we win. Wilson Bank and Trust, here to get you there. Member FDIC.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Bill Mayo here, VFL from 1981 through 1984. For the last five decades, Volunteer Welding has been supplying Tennessee companies with industrial gases, welding supplies, CO2, and propane for all their business needs. Our goal is great local service with national capabilities. Check out our customer-friendly website at volunteerwelding.com. With locations across the Volunteer State in Nashville, Knoxville, Cookeville, Tullahoma, and Jackson, Volunteer Welding can meet all of your business needs.
Championship teams make constant adjustments to keep winning. I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Your competitors aren't standing still. Forklift sales are up 100%. You can't compete with inferior machinery. Our free equipment analysis shows your MVPs and the ones costing you wins. With factory rebates up to $8,000, you can't afford to stay on the sideline. Don't get left behind. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
University of Tennessee did not play last week. No lessons to go over. But, Mac, let's kind of go over the 8-9 game lessons. It's been eight, nine games that Tennessee has played. Let's kind of talk about what we're seeing from this team right now. One of the things that came out of the Kentucky ball game, the fact that they played better on defense. They played better on in the Oklahoma game after that. Certainly had a lot of opportunities to win the Oklahoma game. Wasn't able to do that. Give Oklahoma a lot of credit for that. But those lessons that we talked about, setting the edge, filling those gaps, those eight gaps, depending on how many people are in the, on the line of scrimmage, keeping everything inside where those big guys can make tackles. That was the one area. When we do lessons, it's not only the negative lessons, it's the positive lessons. If I'm a Tennessee fan, the thing that I like going into these final three ball games, and certainly the last two SEC games, or the fact that defensively they're playing a lot more fundamentally sound the last couple of ball games.
Well, those fundamentals are ones that are easy to correct, and they're also easy to see. You know, as a coach, when you're doing your film evaluation, there are some things that get into a gray area. There's no gray area about setting the edge. There's no gray area about run defense because, I mean, those gaps haven't changed since Newt Rockne. The thing that you have to do, and you can immediately tell who's doing the job and who's not doing the job. And I agree wholeheartedly with you. If they just continue to build a wall against the run, as explosive as their offense is, you've got to play to your offense. This team has to play to their offense. Their offense, especially their explosive plays on offense, are that's the strength of this team this year. Defensively, you have to play to that by doing this. Don't allow the other team explosives, and really don't allow the other team to be able to move the ball just because you're out of position. You might get beat every now and then, but if you don't, if you're not out of position, your offense is going to score enough to give you two score separations.
Had an open week last week, only three practices. They have New Mexico State this week. Quite frankly, New Mexico State is not very good. I'm sure they'll play hard.
This Doug, can I just say this? That's going to be a boat race.
Should be.
Yeah, it should be.
What was the old Charles Barkley line about Angola and the
I don't know much about them.
I don't know much about them. I know they're in trouble.
I know they're in trouble.
Well, hopefully that's the way it's going to be. So, let's go back. Coach Heupel and his staff knew after the Oklahoma game they had an open week, and then they had a game against a team, New Mexico State, in this sense that probably weren't going to give them a whole lot of trouble. You know that they worked very hard that open week on the fundamental part of it, let's get healthy, which they should be relatively healthy coming into this game. And then this past week, as a head coach, and then when you were an assistant also, especially in college ball, and I know this is what we did when I was at Tennessee. If we were playing a team like a New Mexico State, we worked on a lot of the Florida plays, the next ball game, Florida, and then some Vanderbilt. Now, the key, though, was we didn't tell our team that. We just worked on them, and then we knew if we wanted to put in a few things to try out against what it would look like when we played, in this instance, Florida or Vanderbilt, the last ball game of the year. I don't know Coach Heupel did that, but I'm betting that he did.
Well, that's exactly what my 13 years coaching college ball. That's exactly what we did. If we had somebody that we knew that it was going to be a boat race in our favor, we absolutely looked ahead as to who we were playing. And look, the players know this too. The other thing that I will bring up, Doug, and you're really good at this because you know this roster really, really well. This still gives you a chance in the collegiate football. These young players can play four games and still hold their redshirt years. There'll be a lot of young players playing in this ball game. That's what you need.
I would have to believe that knowing where Tennessee is right now, they have three losses. They're not going to get in the college football playoff unless there's just some miracle games. And they're not going to be in the championship game of the Southeastern Conference. So, as a head football coach, and this is all on him, Mac, wouldn't you want to see those positions? Let's take the quarterback position, all right? Joey Aguilar has done a phenomenal job this year, but he's not going to be here next year. Wouldn't you think, or let me just put it this way, I would think that this is a game when Josh Heupel would like to see what those two young quarterbacks, Merklinger and McIntyre, what they can do in a game when it was still in doubt's not the right word, but it wasn't mop-up duty when you're in there with the with the third team or the fourth team or some of the walk-on players. Wouldn't you think that he would want to see how they react in front of a big crowd?
Perfect chance to do that. Perfect chance, because you're going to have to develop these players. As you said, Aguilar has done a great job this year, but he's not going to be here. So my answer to that is yes.
And if you look at it, too, the reason that and it's that one position, almost every other position, they played a lot of players this year.
Sure they have.
So they got a good idea.
Yeah.
It's not going to affect their redshirt year. Well, Merklinger cannot redshirt. He already has. McIntyre will redshirt this year. But the thing of it is, that is the one position that there's going to be some discussion about after the end of this year. Because, again, Aguilar, who's taken he's taken every single meaningful snap. So to get a look at that, I would think Coach Heupel would want to do that. But, on the other side of it, offensive coaches are a little bit different in that area. He may or may not do that. But that's one of the things I'm going to be looking at for sure.
Absolutely. Me too. I agree with you 100%, Doug.
All right. Let's talk about this. December games. Let's talk about these December games, what we know from experience and what our eyes tell us. Most games are in conference play. All the conference teams know what you like to do, what you don't like to do. They know what your injury situation is. They know what the depth is that you're probably going to be putting out there on the team. That's one thing. Depth always shows up this time of year because of injuries. We're going to find out what type of depth that you have and know going in. Experience shows up if you've got an experienced team. Mac, special players show up when you're fighting for championships. Some players just have that ability, no matter how well they're playing, to get a little bit more when you get into those championship-type programs or type games. And then the last thing is, and I wanted to talk to you about, is because you've been around a lot of them and I've been around a lot of them too. You know who else also shows up? Good game day play callers also show up in these key, tight, important ball games.
Yeah, well, I mean, you talk about big-time players and stepping up at a big time. This is a time for coaches too. Because these ball games that we're talking about coming down the stretch, I mean, it could flip. And it could flip on how well not only you prepare your team, but how well you adjust your team during the ball game. That's going to be extremely, extremely important. I mean, and to me, that this is a time when coaches, all the coaches, not only the head coach, the coordinators, and also the assistant coaches, you got to be on top of your game. You got to be on top of it.
Last thing on this, let's just think about these. We'll talk about the four SEC programs, but it's true of any of the teams where their head coach had been fired in the middle of the year. Those assistants, Mac, are essentially working. Yes, they're under contract, but they're also working to look to go where they will be going after this. So very difficult. I've been in a couple of those situations where the head coach got fired. Very difficult to keep your nose to the grindstone because you know what? Hey, I'm going to be moving too. I got to be looking what I'm going to do. It's always a kind of a period of time for that. And I think that's one of the things we saw in the Florida-Kentucky game. I never see a team gave up, but when you get beat 35-7 and have a hard time scoring that seven with a talented football team, all that kind of plays into it, unfortunately.
Well, let me tell you something, though. In big-time football, I go back to when, you know, 40 years ago when I was hired by Mike Ditka as one of the youngest coaches in the National Football League, the one thing he told me when I left his office was, remember this, every day is an interview. Every day is an interview. That's what we're talking about.
Timeout called. Back after these announcements, Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
More than 450 tickets have been sold worth $1 million or more. But with nearly $8 billion raised for education, the biggest winners continue to be students in Tennessee. So if you've ever purchased a game from the Tennessee Lottery, we say thank you for helping to play your part. The Tennessee Lottery, game-changing, life-changing fun. But please play responsibly.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, set, stay, eat. At Great Clips, they know I, like you, have a lot going on, and that's why they save my haircut details in clip notes, so I get the same cut every time. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with over 130 salons throughout the state of Tennessee, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near wherever you are. I've been a client of Great Clips for well over a decade now, and if you are looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. Just like your favorite team needs solid players and teamwork to succeed, your health needs a strong lineup also. And guess what? Dental and vision care are your MVPs when it comes to preventative wellness. Delta Dental of Tennessee boasts an all-star lineup of dentists across the state with plans covering up to 100% of your preventative care, such as exams and cleanings. Delta Dental of Tennessee is there to answer any questions you have about your dental insurance so you can stay in top form. Check out their website at deltadentaltn.com.
Weekly drive around college football, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
College football playoff will be all set December the 7th. Of course, that's after the conference championship games. We're going to find out who those 12 teams are going to be. Mac, let's take a look here right now, and we're going to use our eyes on this, but also we got a pretty good idea. Let's start on the Power Four conferences, and then we'll get down to that group of five. First off, Big 12. Right now, looks like the Big 12 and the ACC, one of those two leagues are only going to get the champion in. Let's look at the Big 12. And again, you got to win that championship. That's the only way you're guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff. Texas Tech, right now, catbird seat?
No doubt. No doubt. Here's why. Texas Tech, they are phenomenal on defense. They are, and you and I both know, we're defensive coaches by trade. You know, when we started this out, defense, and especially late in the year, defense travels. Texas Tech has got a marvelous defense.
ACC, Georgia Tech, even though they lost last week, still in the catbird seat there. Miami still in it. Virginia still in it. Pitt still in it. But really, it's going to get down to Georgia Tech. Probably Miami. Those will probably be the two teams that play for the conference. We'll see. Again, probably only going to get one in there. Let's look at the Big Ten. Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon are all going to be, when the season ends, all will be somewhere in the top 12. Then you got USC and you got Michigan. Southeastern Conference, A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Texas. All right, I put those two together because that's nine teams between the Big Ten and the SEC. One of those two programs are going to get four in. They might get five in. And probably the league that looks like right now that will get either four or five, or maybe it should be five or four in all likelihood, Southeastern Conference.
I say the SEC gets five in. The SEC gets five in. Just watching these people play. And again, this is all a little bit subjective too, because you this is where this committee comes in, Doug, as far as strength of schedule, and that's important. But to me, the SEC still will. I believe we'll have the five in.
Well, here's going to be the interesting team, and I save them for last. Notre Dame. Notre Dame is 8-2 right now. Let's say they win out and they go 10-2. Mac, if they go purely, and I'm looking this outside in, if they go with strength of schedule, Notre Dame is not going to be better than a 10-2 team in the Big Ten or the Southeastern Conference. But just from you being around a long time, what's the odds of a 10-2 Notre Dame team not getting in the playoff?
Well, I mean, I was born and raised Catholic, so I got to say Notre Dame will be. But to me, that's what you say, you know, seriously, is a very, very, very honest look at it, because they're a good football team, but they haven't played the schedule that the people, especially in the SEC, have played. That's just the truth.
Clock just hit zero. Join us next week for our weekly coaches meeting. This is Coach to Coach.